Congressman, how are you?
Tony, I'm doing well, and let me right off the top say I apologize for missing yesterday, and it wasn't staff error, it wasn't your error, it was my error.
Well,
I apologize.
Well, Congressman, I never take that stuff personal, and we sure don't worry about it because we know you got a bigger fish to fry, and we know that when you come on the program, so don't worry about it.
Delighted to come on.
You can make up for it, though, by giving me sunshine and 70-degree weather.
Oh, man, I wish I could, too. I tell you what, my Harley's sitting languishing in my my barn right now, and so it knows that I can't probably ride it till this weekend sometime. Yeah, it would like to see some sunshine, too. So, hey, at least to wash the salt off the roads from our Christmas Day, and I guess maybe it was because it was April 18th, tax day, we had the snow, but nonetheless, forward.
Saw an interesting story this morning on Fox News where Sarah Palin was on talking about Republicans. She, as a matter of fact, said, and I'm not going to quote, I'm going to paraphrase what she said, but in essence, it's that the Tea Partiers voted out the Democrats, and they wanted the Republicans to step up and be more fiscally responsible, and she thinks it's a mistake for Republicans to be trying to find common ground with Democrats that we, the people, voted you folks in to make strong changes, not to negotiate and to cut, cut, cut. How would you respond to that?
Well, Sarah has her position, and I guess she can take it. But I'm working from the inside, and my direction is to go and try not to compromise with the Democrats and find common ground, but to move forward for the taxpayers of the United States, and more specifically of the 7th District of Michigan. And I'm pleased to say that we accomplished a move forward with $38 billion of cuts, and those are actual authorized spending cuts, not just simply outlays with an incomplete year. Those were authorized cuts that government will spend if given the opportunity to spend it. So those cuts were made. That's the largest single cut in the history of the United States. But we also went beyond that. I think we put several things in place. Number one, we forced the Senate to take a vote on repealing Obamacare. We knew that what the outcome would be a straight party-line vote, and we would lose. But we would also give opportunity for the voters to see where the senators, not simply their members of Congress, who we voted on it twice already to repeal, and we passed it twice in the House, but now the Senate has put themselves on record. Secondly, we gave a mandatory up or down agreement for the vote on defunding Planned Parenthood. In a tight economic times, people on both sides of that issue still agree that we shouldn't be putting taxpayer dollars toward this entity when they have plenty of their own. And then probably of equal importance, we also got two independent audits, one of Obamacare and the other of the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. And many of us conservatives have said both of those are tantamount to a takeover of the United States private citizens and private entities by government. And now we'll have an independent audit that will probably show exactly what we've said is true. So those two things are very significant, along with cutting for funding for four czars, including the health care czar and the environmental czar, and fully funding the troops for the rest of the year and getting us off of this issue, the mess that was left by the last Congress and not doing a budget and moving on to not billions of cuts, but trillions of dollars of cuts in passing the Paul Ryan budget on Friday. It moved everything forward, and whatever Sarah Palin thinks, that's fine. But I was there, and I think we accomplished something that very few of us expected would take place when you figure that the president, the vice president, Harry Reid, were lobbying and working and negotiating against one man, John Boehner, with Mitch McConnell doing the wise thing and staying out of the mix so that there wouldn't be a playoff between House and Senate Republicans. And I think we came through strong.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Representative Tim Walberg. Tim, you were a congressman for Michigan's 7th District. You lost your seat to Mark Schauer for a term, and now you're back. What's changed in that time now that you've been back for about a quarter? What have you noticed? What's different? What's changed?
Well, first of all, I come back in a majority, and have opportunity to chair a subcommittee and be on three significant committees that really pertain to the primary function of Republicans in the House right now, and that's to be a stop sign for more takeover by government of private lives. That's been exciting. I come back having known what I lost and desiring to get that back, the opportunity to speak on behalf of, I believe, the majority of this district and to have that opportunity. But also, I come back at a time when people's eyes have been narrowed as a result of what they've seen go on in their lives and in government. Many people never expected that the government could change so drastically, so rapidly. And though it's taken quietly, placed quietly over many, many years to developing to this, but these last 2 years have really narrowed people's focus and their eyes and brought them to attention of what's going on. And so I've held, I believe, in the last 2 days, 8 town hall meetings, and they have been far better attended, in fact, in some cases, standing room only and out the door, with people whose attention has been gained, their concern has been raised, and they want to do something, and they want to move forward. And that's an encouraging sign, because America only works to its fullest when the people, and that's the government, they elect representatives, but the government is actually the people in this country when they take notice and become involved.
We get a lot of emails and phone calls about the price of gas. What is going on, and what can Congress do to help us?
Well, here's an evidence of what takes place when a country like ours, the greatest country on this earth, the strongest country, the most powerful country, the country that continues to be the richest but nonetheless begins to hold itself back and slide, does not have an energy policy, not simply an unsound energy policy, but no energy policy to speak of. We have an energy department that does not do energy. That's the second Environmental Protection Agency. We have one of those, and that's too much with what they've been doing in recent years. So we have to turn that around and say we are going to be our own resource for energy. And if we then, after having done that, still want to purchase our energy resources from other parts of the world for global economy, whatever, we can do it. But as I had the opportunity to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel just a few weeks back, one of the only constructive criticisms he gave to the five members of Congress who were meeting with him was this. He said, I cannot believe that this administration and this great country of America is not willing to do what's necessary to be energy independent. Because if you are not energy independent, then you are not secure. And more than that, for us, if America isn't secure, then the rest of the world isn't secure. And we have to change that. So now we see what's taking place in Libya. We see that China, India are buying up as much fuel as they possibly can and drilling where they can and doing things that America refuses to do and puts moratoriums on and puts wildlife habitats around and puts provisions in place to keep us from exploring and developing our own natural resources and moving forward on things like nuclear power and doing it safely using our coal resources with clean coal technology and promoting bio, wind, solar, and, of course, petroleum and natural gas. So if we do that, Tony, we can come back. But right now we're on the backslide of not doing things right, and we're suffering the consequences of gas prices moving towards $5 a gallon.
We've got a couple more questions for Congressman Tim Walberg on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. The mortgage industry continues to plague the United States. It hurts a lot of folks. A lot of folks are in over their head, and it's caused a lot of debt here in the United States. And I wonder, is Congress taking a look at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to do something about those entities, because they still are not operating in an efficient capacity?
Absolutely. And an entity that was established and put forth and regulated and not regulated by the government still continues on. We bailed them out, and yet the policies remain the same. I've signed on legislation that will take a look at removing Fannie and Freddie from the entities that are putting them in the private sector where they ought to be, coming under the same provisions any private sector entity would come under, and regulating that in that process. They cannot be a standalone entity that that goes really about its about their responsibilities with oversight and really a lot of. Look the other way and say, do what you want to do.
Well, Congressman, it sounds like you're saying that the government shouldn't be in the mortgage business.
I'm saying that the government shouldn't be in the mortgage business. I mean, we saw what happened with the meltdown when the government got involved in saying that it was a right for everyone to have a home. And it certainly, we want everyone to have an opportunity. But there are times in people's lives that they shouldn't have a mortgage. They should be building toward that. They should have some skin in the game, as it were, with a down payment. And we shouldn't be putting policies in place and mandating lending institutions to give out mortgages at with no cost or no skin in the game to the mortgagee, and saying that people can get themselves underwater even before they pay their first loan payment. That's the wrong way to go. We found that that was the wrong way to go, and we had the meltdown back in 2008. Let's not get in that again and promote some irresponsibility in the way we deal with debt, and also promote the concept, which I think is a strong moral hazard, and many people agree with me, including the Inspector General, that's looking into the whole issue of TARP and other things, in that the moral hazard of too big to fail is something that this country cannot allow.
What's your take with the president's appearance on Facebook, and should Facebook be allowed to expand into China?
I'm not one that's that stands in the way of expansion of any entity. I like free trade. Fair trade connects with that. But the president is into his I think what we'll see for the rest of his term, the tour of campaigner in chief, and he's a master at using those sources. And I think we have to look at that ourselves and message out in any way possible using whatever's necessary, including greater programs like this.
And should Facebook go into China?
Well, I don't see how you stop it.
All right. Congressman, appreciate your time. I guess I was just curious about that. You can't stop an entity from growing, but with all the stresses and strains that we have with China, with the manipulation of currency, with imports and exports, I just wondered if you would encourage business to grow in China.
I encourage business to grow anywhere, but my main responsibility here is to make sure that we take hurdles out of the way and impingements out of the way for businesses to grow here, because if in most cases government would get out of the way with unnecessary over-restrictive regulation, we're not talking about, and never do I want to be quoted saying that there isn't a need for regulation, but when we go beyond what's necessary to compete, and really what is rational in taxation and regulation on our businesses that provide jobs for our people, when we put those hurdles in the way, we hurt ourselves. And it's not China or India or Japan or any other country doing that to us. We've got to deal with their manipulation of currency. We've got to deal with unfair trade practices. We've got to deal with their spying on us and their violating franchise and a patent agreements and things like that. Yes, we need to be eternally diligent with that.
Oh, and finally, Congressman, before I let you go, do we need another bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
I don't think so. And that's my personal position, as I've looked at it for, of course, the past 5 or 6 years. I don't think so, but that's a decision that will be made by this legislature and this governor. Ultimately, hopefully, that they will see what's truly needed at this point in time in our history.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Enjoy your day, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Tony.